When my brother was living in Georgia, I felt blessed to have a few days where I could spend some time with him. And I remember arriving at the airport, us driving to his place about 10 o'clock at night, and still marveled at the fact that there were so many cars in the 6-lane freeway. Wow, life here must be extremely busy. And as we were thinking about the different things that we were going to do, one of the highlights that I had was food, because my brother had spoken to me about the many great types of food that they had there in Georgia. And for those who know me, I have been cycling through various different ways of eating, so he found a couple places that would tailor to whatever odd thing I was going on that time. And so the only caveat he brought up was the fact that, oh, by the way, most of the restaurants are closed on Sunday. And while this had put an initial damper on my spirits, I realized how good it is to have heard that, to know that there are still some places, some areas, some individuals who uphold Sunday as the day of rest. A couple days ago, Archbishop Vigneron had released a statement about the dispensation to Holy Mass on Sundays, and he extended the dispensation to November 23rd, but also took the time to remind all of us of the importance of keeping that day holy, saying that it is a day that is set apart for the glory of God. It is a day that we are to receive His rest. It is a day that has to be hallowed. He also gave the encouragement that anyone who is already participating in events or activities which place them in the same or even greater risk of the virus, that they should make the return to Holy Mass and delay no longer. Well, of course, I know I'm speaking to the crowd here. Perhaps this can be an encouragement for us during those moments of temptation when we want to take ourselves away from that equation, or maybe it can serve as fuel by which we can encourage our brothers and sisters to the return of Holy Mass. The first reading we heard from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, 6 to 7, said, "All who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer." We see back in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, God commanded it as law for the Sabbath to be kept sacred, to be adhered to. But even early on, as we take a look at the book of Genesis, we see that as God created the cosmos, the entire world, and all the little things that crawl around, on the seventh day, God didn't take a couple coffee beans and chewed them up in his mouth and said, "Well, the world ain't gonna make itself." God rested. Jesus, in Mark 2, 27 to 28, explained that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is to say that the observance of this particular day is actually for our benefit. Sometimes we approach it in the opposing view. That is to say, oh, this is something that God has mandated, I have to do, I must do. And we come with drudgery, right? Or we come with guilt, you know. We got family members that introduce to us more that Catholic guilt. Well, it's Sunday, what else are you going to do? And you find yourself dragging yourself in here and hoping that the priest or the preacher doesn't preach too long. And here, you know, if we were to realize the great treasury of graces that God has for us, when we come to each offering of Holy Mass, in our attentiveness, in our devotion, in our love, God has so much to offer. The reason why we quote sacred scripture is not only because it's the word of God, not only because it has authority, but because in the very speaking of his voice, through the Holy Spirit, that there comes with it not only truth, but oftentimes blessings. in that passage from Isaiah 56, 6 to 7. He says that all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. How many times are we like that Canaanite woman in the gospel who is crying out to God, God help me, son of David, have mercy on me. Look to me, pay attention to me. We have this longing, this deep longing to receive that joy. And in this world, it's not that hard to imagine how difficult it is to find that joy bombarded with so many things. And here, it just sounds so counterintuitive to say, I'm going to take time to go to church for the Holy Mass, and that's supposed to help me? You know, when the Israelites honored the Sabbath, it was a way in which they remembered the deliverance that God gave them from the hands of Pharaoh. The Sabbath was seen as a sign of the irrevocable covenant that brought everyday work to a halt, taking off the yoke of work, the busyness of work, and the worship of money. But the truth of the matter is that there will always be work. There will always be things for us to do. There's no end. But we still need rest. The observance of the Sabbath, of course, is not something that we adhere to now. It's not the Sabbath, which was basically before sunset on Friday until after sunset on Saturday. But it is on the Lord's Day. St. Ignatius of Antioch, who lived between the first and second century, said, those who lived according to the old order of things have come to a new hope, no longer keeping the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day, in which our life is blessed by Him and by His death. St. Justin Martyr, who lived in the second century, attests to this as well. We all gather on the day of the sun, Sunday, for it is the first day when God, separating matter from darkness, made the world. And on the same day, Jesus Christ, our Savior, rose from the dead. Sunday also involves this resting in God, a time to be reminded that with all the uncertainties of this world, there is someone who does care for us unconditionally, that we can place all our cares, our anxieties, our fears, our worries to His Son, Jesus. There, laying at the foot of the cross, we will be taken care of. When we come to Holy Mass, not only do we give God that which is His due and worship Him and thank Him, but it's also the reminder that not everything is dependent on you. Not everything relies on you. There's only one Savior, right? It ain't you, it ain't me, thanks be to God. Right? It's Jesus. And so let's go to Jesus. Let's run to Him. We acknowledge that every time we come to Holy Mass, every time we give Him that which is due, every time we say, yeah, you know, I've done these good things, but Lord, I think it's insufficient. Fill in the gap. Fill in the places that I have not been able to do. Make up for the things that I have failed to do. Help me in all my endeavors. Paragraph 2176 of the Catechism says, the celebration of Sunday observes the moral commandment inscribed by nature in the human heart to render to God an outward, visible, public, and regular worship as a sign of His universal beneficence to all. Sometimes we think that in our schedule, we can interchange this holy day. Perhaps that my Sunday is too busy, but Tuesday looks better, and, well, maybe I'll go to Mass then. But it is not God who conforms to us. It is us who conforms. forms to God. Canon Law 1246, Section 1 says, Sunday, on which by apostolic tradition the Paschal mystery is celebrated, must be observed in the universal church as the primordial holy day of obligation. Now, if there's some serious reason, as outlined in paragraph 2181 of the Catechism, the faithful are obliged to participate in Mass. Unless that serious reason exists, then one ought to be rendering God that true worship. And those who deliberately fail commit a grave sin, a mortal sin, that must be absolved in confession before presenting oneself for the Holy Eucharist. Now, this practice of gathering together, you know, started in the very early days of the church. You can take a look at the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's what we have as our parish. That's why we gather together as a church. 2179 of the Catechism explains that the parish is the place where all the faithful can be gathered together for the Sunday celebration of the Eucharist. You cannot pray at home as at church, where there is a great multitude, where exclamations are cried out to God as from one great heart, and where there is something more, the union of minds, the accord of souls, the bond of charity, the prayer of priests. Now, of course, the church recognizes that in this world, there are some things that are unavoidable and that have to be done. Yes, even on Sundays. The church even recognizes this through the Catechism, paragraph 2185. Family needs or important social service can legitimately excuse from the obligation of Sunday rest. Even at times in which we take part in Christian piety, whether they be works of charity to the sick, the infirm, the elderly, or maybe when this is the only time that we're able to go and spend some time with our family and friends, those are all very laudable and praiseworthy acts. But the truth of the matter is, we all need this day. If God Himself rested on this day, then how is it that we can go without? Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is a reminder of the covenant established between us and God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It should be set apart. It should be something special. And yes, while at times it can seem for us an inconvenience, oh, this just does not fit in my schedule, I don't have the time in which we give to God at Holy Mass, will renew us, will refresh us, will even answer the things in which we have been dying to hear, because our God is alive and speaks to us well here. Our God, when we pursue Him with everything, will give us all things besides.